Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Jen, it's Jen Heil. How do you pronounce your name? It's Jen.
Jen Heyer.
Jen Heyer. I ran into her at a sportsman banquet, the Safari Club, and she was a presenter there, and I thought it was very interesting what she was doing. She sponsors or runs a program called Wilderness Wednesdays. She's got a bunch of awards, EPA Presidential Innovation Award and Environmental Education. So kind of tell us a little bit about what you do with kindergartners to kind of get them aware of and involved in the outdoors.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I take out all of my kindergartners in another classroom. We have two classrooms of kids that go out, and all of our contact hours on Wednesdays is spent in the great outdoors, in the forest area, the creek area of our school, and we are doing conservation education. We're doing reading outside, writing, math, as many state standards as we can bring out, along with teaching kids empathy, compassion, critical thinking, communication, and all those great 21st century skills.
Yeah, those are what, the five, or those are the four or five things of five C's or whatever it is?
Yeah, they say the four C's,
four
the five C's.
C's.
There's a lot of them. I keep adding them on. I think curiosity should be on there, along with creativity, communication, all those.
And I read on the Facebook site you had one piece where you were teaching kindergartners what are five ways birds survive the winter? What are the five ways?
Well, we went through them, and then we act them out, because once you teach them, you've got to have some sort of movement for kindergartners to understand. But we talked about how they eat extra food, and of course they like, the kids love anytime they can say the word fat, so they get fat when they eat all the extra food. And then we talk about how they huddle together next to the trunks of the tree, and then we act that out, and they get to huddle next to one of the teachers. We talk about how they stand on one foot instead of both feet, how they crouch down, and we act out all those pieces.
Yeah, so they see it, and then you kind of give them some kind of little exercise or drill, if you will, coming from a sports mindset.
Yeah.
A drill to kind of reinforce what it's about. How do the parents react to a program like this? I mean, what they've got to be kind of, are they thrilled about this or what?
Yeah, we've had some really good feedback. I do a survey at the end of the year each year just to say, hey, how can I make this better? What things are great about the program? What things need to change? And typically the things that need to change are they want their kids to have more experience outside. They want us going out more. They want it in other grade levels. They want it to grow in those areas, as well as their kids want to touch a bunny. They want to catch a fish, things that sometimes are a little out of our control because of the area that we're in.
Yeah, but you do take them out fishing, right?
And I would love to. Someone is out there that is able to help me get out fishing. We just got a grant through the Minnesota DNR for 50 fishing rods. And so we have the fishing rods at school right now. They're waiting for a long Minnesota winter to pass to get us out there to do some target practice and things.
Yeah, this seems like an idea that's ripe to expand, that this is going to grow. Other people are going to hear this and learn of this program and want to do it elsewhere, because there's so many schools with access to the outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. There's in the state of Minnesota, there are a lot of outdoor preschool programs. Either they're forest day programs that they're teaching one day a week outside like I am, or they have forest kindergarten or forest preschools where they're outside all day every day. So in a preschool environment, that is becoming more commonplace. It's not real common yet, but it is becoming more common. But in a public school situation, it's a little bit more difficult with the standards and the checks and balances that we have. And so with going outside with what I'm doing, with having, like we mentioned, the communication, the critical thinking, those types of skills that they're learning, but we also are doing state standards out there as well. And that's how I've been able to work that into a public school setting.
What proximity from the school, I mean, how far away from the school classroom do you go? Is it right in a close vicinity, a couple miles or a few, whatever?
Yeah, we are very fortunate at the school that I'm at in Eden Prairie that we have over 20 acres. We're on 20 acres. We have a forest. We have a creek area. The creek, we can get down to a pond pretty easily. And the PTO that we have has been very supportive in putting in an amphitheater out there. The Boy Scouts, we've worked with Eagle Scouts that have put in paths and put in a hammock forest for us. They have put in a knot board that kids can bring their iPads out and use QR codes to go into videos to teach them how to do various different types of knot tying. So we've had a huge community support.
Have they tried to replicate this in other school districts to an extent? I mean, you get requests or people saying, we'd like to do it in our school. How do you go, you know, what's the recipe for it, that type of thing?
Yeah, we've had a lot of people come out. The entire first grade team from Jordan Elementary, they came out. They're replicating. They're doing first grade Forester Fridays because every young primary teacher loves a good alliteration. And then we have a couple of the schools in Eden Prairie that are also starting the program too. Eden Lake has their whole first grade team on, a couple other teachers in other grade levels. We've got a Minnetonka school that's working with it. I'm mentoring a teacher out in Kentucky that's doing it with her third graders. So it is something that has been growing.
Yeah. So at Minnesota, it's something that could expand to a lot of other schools, that there could be I know we did some we're looking at, well, high school ice fishing league was one thing, and I forgot to mention that in an earlier segment. So we're looking at what the industry is as well, looking at, you know, how do we get, like all sports except for maybe soccer, I think, are experiencing a decline. So they're all looking at, you know, ways in which to increase participation in a particular sport. So do the girls like it as much as the boys? I mean, how does that mixture play out?
Yeah, it's pretty funny that, you know, the first lesson is always the same. We go outside, I make a big mud puddle, and then I smear my own face with mud, and all the kids gasp and think that's the craziest thing ever. This year, I got my colleague to let me smear her face with mud, and the kids gasp again. I'm like, now who's next? And the kids will say, well, my mom won't like that. I'm like, your mom's not here. And they think they're, oh, the freedom. And so we go around and we smear faces with mud. And the funniest thing is then the girls start getting real artsy, and then they start painting hearts and flowers with mud on their faces. And then they start bathing in mud, and they're covered in their arms and things. And then in the spring, when the creek has a little bit more water in it, we work on building bridges and the collaboration that goes into that. And then the kids always have to test their bridge before I test their bridge. And you watch the girls and the boys, they'll go across, they're cautiously going across, and then that mucky, gooey spring mud suctions their boots in, and then they're stuck, and then they're in their sock, and then they're laying down in the mud. And it ends up that we've built such a curriculum in that by the time it's spring, the parents know their kids are going to need a bath after every Wednesday.
It sounds great. If I was back in kindergarten, I would have loved this. And it is a great experience in exposing kids to the outdoors, because their lives many times are so structured with traditional school and being in the classroom and going home and all their organized activities and computer time and TV time. Just getting outside and playing in the mud and learning about how stuff works in the outdoors.
Right,
that's
and
really good.
They're making a lot of connections. One of the girls came in today with her little faux fur vest on, and she came in, she goes, oh, with all the fur, right?
That's
and
really good.
They're making a lot of connections. One of the girls came in today with her little faux fur vest on, and she came in, she goes, oh, with all the furs I have in the classroom, I need to go match which fur I'm wearing today. And she's like, it might be deer, it's not fox, maybe it's coyote. And then she went through, and one of the other little girls last week said, I'm done drawing during my free time, I just want to play with the skulls and the replica scat that we have in the classroom.
Wow.
And so they're taking their learning, they're extending it. We've talked about carrying capacity in forests and lakes, and we're doing a lot of large vocabulary words, large concepts with 5 and 6 year olds, and they're taking that home, and parents will email and say, I know more about worms now than I think I have ever wanted to know in my entire life.
Interesting. The thing I was thinking about when you were talking about all this, probably one thing in particular this state has lost, or progressively losing, I should say, is the connection to agriculture, where you had prior generations, certainly 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and less than that in the 50s and the 60s, or somewhere around in those ranges, where people still had, in Minnesota, relatives that lived on the farm or came from rural areas and stuff like that. And so this kind of resurfaces that a little bit, you know, where things they took for granted on the on a farm, you know, being around it all the time, a lot of kids in metro areas, suburban areas, wouldn't have exposure to that and really know, you know, how rooted we can be in some of that stuff like that. It's pretty interesting stuff. So is the what do the other teachers think about it? Do they go, this is great? Does it help them with other learning skills? I guess it would be a more technical question.
It does. You know, I think 5 years ago when I started it, they said, oh, there's Jen. She's crazy. The lunch ladies were like, oh, my goodness, what'd you do in the outdoor classroom today? There's mud all over the lunchroom. I mean, they kind of know that Wednesdays are going to be an interesting day in the hallways just with what we bring in. And now, you know, through all the things that have been growing and the curriculum changing and then being able to work with the National Elk Alliance out of Pennsylvania, Skyping lessons with them, working with the DNR, working with the Watershed District has been a huge resource. All those resources that I've reached out to and we've pulled in, now all the teachers have those as their resources as well. And so the students are able to scaffold their education in kindergarten up through first and second because of the learning that continues through the grades.
Is it kind of like, you know, with new experiences, you can learn from things you don't normally do or have in your routine that you can maybe apply to other things, kind of like some steps to learn things you didn't know before, you know what I mean? And maybe with an outdoor experience, it will help them. I've seen that before where other activities help them with learning skills, you know, that they can apply, or maybe they think about a career in natural resources. We've got to start somewhere, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We read a book today called The Mitten, where all these most of them are Minnesota animals, not all of them are, that they're crawling into a mitten. And the kids are like, we have a badger fur in the classroom. There's no way a badger would fit in my glove. So they're really doing critical thinking when we're just reading just a book for leisure in the classroom. And then I mentioned that we did some activities with the carrying capacity of a forest or of the lake. And when we introduced a game called Oh Deer this year, we introduced a hunter. And we talked about the responsibilities and a role that a hunter has. And the kids had the option to have a hunting license or to not apply for the hunting license. And they really had great critical thinking through that, too. And they said, some of them said, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Can I apply for a license? And then if I don't want to be a hunter when it's my turn, can I not be the hunter? And I said, absolutely. And then when we played another hunting game a month later, I said, I'm not going to collect your hunting license. Part of being a hunter is being a responsible hunter. So being responsible, you have to keep tabs of your own license. And so the kids would say, my mom took my license out of my backpack, and I told her, put it back in that pocket. I need to make sure I have it for the next game we play. And so we're teaching so many different things through, you know, one game that we're playing that the kids are begging for. And we say, okay, now it's another animal that we could talk about carrying capacity with.
Well, and it sounds like something that you're really into as well and keeps your job interesting moving forward.
Well, it's funny. My husband laughs all the time. He's like, this is not the person I married. This is not the person I started dating 20 years ago. I am not by nature an outdoors person. I was forced into fishing through him. And really, this is just the teacher that I've become because it's what my students have asked for. It started real small. Let's just get outside. And then it's, hey, let's get our science standards outside. And then it just grew and grew. At no point, this is my 19th year of teaching, at no point did I think I'd have Replascat in my classroom. The furs, we have a classroom set of rubber boots, a classroom set of rain suits. These are just not things that I anticipated having. And now I know that my other colleagues and myself that go out every Wednesday, it's a day of the week we wouldn't give up. We look forward to it just as much as the kids do. And the mindfulness activities that we start with, where they start with 10 minutes of sit spots, where we just sit and take in our environment and see what's changed and what's the same from the week before, is so calming and it centers us. And I think every single one of us that experiences it gets benefits from it.
So you prepare the parents in advance. It's going to be a Wilderness Wednesday, right? So they can bring their, I'll say it the way the British say it, bring their kit to school to make sure that they're prepared. And stuff like that. Does that ever get any questions raised, or is it just not a big deal?
We try our best. I send a handbook home at the beginning of the year that just explains the program, gives the dates of the program, and then kind of a what to expect. But there are days that no matter how you set up the parents, the expectations are their kids are coming home way dirtier than they thought that they would come home. There was one time we went out and this whole area had flooded and the kids just ran to it. And it was actually this year, the very first Wilderness Wednesday, and they were covered from head to toe with mud and dirt. And we actually, the kindergarten teachers, we were like, we're going to wash the floors because we can't do this to our custodial staff. And we were like, okay, if the parents can make it through this one, they can make it through any of them. But there are surprises that sometimes come up. But part of kindergarten is getting dirty and getting your hands involved in your learning.
Wow, what a great program. And thanks for coming in and telling us about it. Wilderness Wednesdays, kindergarten students in Eden Prairie, the school again.
Cedar Ridge Elementary School. And if anyone is interested to see what we're doing each day, I post everything on our Facebook page and our Twitter page, Higher Learning.
Higher Learning, H-E, I could go over it after the break too, again, just to get it out there, H-E-Y-E-R, Learning, and then there's a website and Facebook, and it kind of goes through what you're doing on that. Well, I really want to thank you for coming in and giving us some ideas I'd never thought about before, certainly never thought we'd be talking about.
Well, I went to kindergarten at Comot Park Elementary on Maryland Avenue in St. Paul, and I guarantee you we didn't have anything like that. I feel like I missed out. Quick break. Live Outdoors continues in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.